Book of Romans. Here we go.
Book of Romans.
Book of Romans. Here we go. Did I say that? All right, we're going to kind of back up a little bit and get verse Romans 3. We were talking about circumcision last Sunday. And so I want to back up just and read a little bit of this because I want you to watch Paul continue his thought. Paul's thought is continually, he'll hammer one subject and then he'll get off of it. But then he'll revisit it later on. So he's getting on it here, and then he'll get on it in 4, and he'll get off of it a little bit. So watch. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just, and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Now, what's he talking about? He's talking about circumcision. Circumcision and uncircumcision, it makes no difference in the flesh if you're circumcised or uncircumcised. It's the circumcision of the heart.
Right.
It's the excess skin that you have in your spirit being that we need to keep cutting away. So, Sister Johnny's mom passed away, so remember the family. That's probably why she's not here. So. And also, remember us, we're going to be gone next Sunday and the next Sunday, and a lot of other people are too. So, remember, we're going to go to Oklahoma, and then we're going to go to Branson, Missouri for a little while with Claude and Ginger, and then come back, preach for him, and then fly back home. Did you do the last one?
Yes.
So, you did the one before that. Yes.
Luis was gone.
So, Luis is gone now?
He was gone.
He was. That's right. So, it'll either be Luis's turn or your turn. Because you had the full month, then him. It's Luis's turn. So, Luis will have next Sunday. You got the Sunday after that. Okay.
Which one?
The Sunday after that. When you show up next Sunday and Luis is doing it, you do it the next Sunday. That's the Sunday after that, which will be
eight.
Luis has got the first, and Brother Joe the eighth. So, all right, and then we got all the other Sunday school people. Everybody's covered with you too. I appreciate that. Thank you. A lot of people going to youth camps and stuff, so just remember us all in prayer. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and to justify him who believes in Jesus. Now, what's Paul talking about? He's going through the part of circumcision and uncircumcision. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. Because what the Jews were doing, they were boasting. We did what Abraham told us to do. So we're under that Abraham covenant that if we were circumcised. But the problem is they lean more to the circumcision than they did to Abraham's believing. Because Abraham wasn't the father of our circumcision.
Right.
Abraham's the father of our faith.
Right.
Amen?
Right.
So, and that's what he's trying to get then, the Jews. Remember, the Jews came to Jesus and said, we be of Abraham's seed. Why? Because they were circumcised naturally in the flesh. So they said, we've done everything that we've done everything. We do the law of Moses. We got Moses' quote book. We go by Moses' quote book, right? We've been circumcised. So we're fine. Jesus is like, you may have been fine before, but you're not fine now. Because there's a new covenant coming in. There's a new testament in the blood of Jesus Christ that will eradicate sin, not just cover it. Because even in Abraham's condition, whatever happened to Abraham, God only covered his sin. God didn't take away from it. Abraham was not a child of God. Abraham was a friend of God. That's why people don't. And you see people still. Where's Louis at? You coming? Okay. Well, he's got next Sunday school class next week. Y'all going to be here? Okay. Thank you. But Luis is running, he ran into a guy the other day that was, that I had a lengthy discussion about the people in the Old Testament not having the new birth. But remember I told you the new birth and eternal life, you got to pull that apart, compartmentalize it, because it's not exactly the same thing.
Right.
You can be imparted eternal life and not have the new birth.
Yeah.
But the new birth is the end of eternal life. So you got to think about that.
Right.
Because Abraham did get eternal life, but Abraham didn't get eternal life while he was here in flesh.
Right.
Somewhere, when Jesus died, when the saints went into whatever dimension they went into, they were imparted eternal life because they were under the blood of bulls and goats, and then the blood of Jesus Christ did away with their sin. But you and I are born again here, alive. So now here's Paul, and that has everything to do with what Paul's talking about, because Paul says, I'm born again. Doesn't matter if I'm circumcised. He was, because he was a Jew. Right? He was circumcised, but he's talking to the uncircumcised and the circumcised, trying to get them to say, hey, quit fighting. Okay? Kind of like Brother Branham was trying to get, I was listening to the tape the other day, he said, you Baptists fight the Methodists, you Methodists fight the Lutheran, you Lutheran fight the Pentecost, you Pentecost fight the Pentecost. Alright, so they're sitting there fighting each other, and he said, Satan don't have to do anything, he just lets y'all fight.
Right.
So, and that's what Paul's doing. Paul's walking with a group of people that says, well, I'm circumcised, I'm doing everything that this Old Testament says. And Paul said, that's fine, because he keeps talking about the law. Watch. Whereas boasting then is excluded. So that he's saying, Jews, you can't boast that you're under this covenant, because that covenant's been annulled, done away with. When Christ died. Luis, you got next Sunday, okay?
Next Sunday.
July 1st. Yeah, here, please. Thank you. Oh, and Brother Joel Forney will be here Wednesday night with us too. So. What is boasting then? It is excluded by what law? Well, the law in the Old Testament said if you're circumcised. Because circumcision did not save Abraham. That's what they're going to. Saying that circumcision is what saves us. That's what the Jews were saying. But it never saved Abraham. It was just a sign that God accepted the faith of Abraham.
Right.
Okay, so that's what he's fixing to talk about. Going on up to Romans 4, so watch. By what law? Of works? Actual cutting of the flesh? Nope. Nay. But by the law of faith. Right? Therefore we conclude. There's his conclusion. We conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Alright? He's not finished though. Is he the God of the Jews only? What's Paul doing? He's trying to bring them together. Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God, I'm at the bottom of the chapter and won't go any further. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and uncircumcision through faith. Alright? So by faith we're standing here, but through faith, what were they doing? They were believing unto.
Right.
Abraham was believing unto. Isaiah was believing unto. All those Old Testament people were believing unto what? That the Messiah was going to come and save them. Alright? But now, circumcision by faith is the people standing in that. Mm-hmm. We're circumcised by faith now.
Yes.
Amen? Do we then make void the law through faith? No, like I said last Sunday, you can't take the Old Testament and throw it in the trash. It's given for examples. Huge examples of the way we should live. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid, yea, we establish the law. In other words, we're the only ones that can really live what the law says. Alright? Let me get rid of this. Get rid of my marker here. Alright, Romans 4. Now watch. Continue the thought. Continue the thought. What shall we say then? Now he's bringing Abraham in. What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? Abraham, your seed's going to be cover the earth like the sand in the ocean, or on the shore of the ocean. Alright? For if Abraham were justified by works, now we know he circumcised himself, but that was just showing. That was an outward show that he believed what God said. For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory. Because if you'll remember, when Abraham was circumcised, he circumcised himself at 99 years old. That took a lot of faith.
That's right.
To do it yourself at 99. With no pain medication.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? But he had faith. But now watch though. Abraham never speaks of that again. Read your Bible. Now people speak of Abraham and his circumcision, and Abraham of the things that he did, But Abraham never boasts that I'm circumcised. I'm circumcised and, you know, I'm... No, he was Abraham. He was Abraham until he died. And then later on, though, the stories were told. So remember, it wasn't written down until Moses wrote them down. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers. So the story of Abraham was not written until Moses wrote it in the Torah, or the first five books of the Bible. But somewhere between there, and that's our problem, somewhere between that point and where Paul was standing and even where Jesus is standing, it got so messed up that they said it was all the circumcision is what saved him. Not the faith of Abraham. Because when they come to these Jews, they're like, we're circumcised. That's it. We're done. We're circumcised. Well, believe on Jesus. Ah, he's the devil. Well, circumcision did them no good. Okay. But if they would have had the faith of Abraham, remember what Jesus said? Before Abraham was, I am. If you would have believed Abraham, you'd believe me. If you'd believe Moses, you'd believe me. He told him, he said, you're not believing, you're just going by works. You're not believing. You have no faith in what they did. Well, we're circumcised. We're done. That's it. Them old priests were standing there lusting after them women in their mind, and under the law, there was no problem. Because the law just said, you touch a woman or you commit fornication. But Jesus walks up and says, I want to talk to the inside guy. That inside guy is the one you got a problem with. And that's the one that you're lusting with. Now Jesus says, I say unto thee, if you look on a woman to lust after in your heart, you have committed adultery with her already. Well, you can't commit adultery in your mind.
Right.
Right? Adultery is an act between a man and a woman in the flesh. Except spiritual adultery, we know that. But natural, it's what we're talking about. Natural adultery, the priests were going, we're circumcised. And I hope you get this in today. You know, I go to church, I read my Bible. That's okay, that's good. But you got to keep going. You got to keep doing the things. You got to have faith. Listen, you got to have faith in what you do. If you just come to church because it's a ritual or because you're going to get talked about if you don't come, you might as well go somewhere else.
Right.
But if you have by faith, I was thinking, me and Brother John Wood had a discussion the other day at the Father's Day thing. You know, it's by faith that we do things, not of works, lest any man should boast. Right. That's what we read here. You know, nobody can boast about it, but it's by, we do these things by faith.
Yes.
We have faith. John said, I have faith that if I put my last $10 in the collection plate, by faith, if I put, not just ritual, he said, if I put my last $10 by faith, God's got to honor that and bring it back 100-fold. So if he puts in 10, he'll give him back 100 somewhere, because he said, I've seen it done that in my life. He said, but I have faith. He said, I have faith when I come to church, I'm going to hear from God. Not that I'm just going to get to church and we're just going to talk about this and then we're going to have little family discussions, and then we're going to, you know, and then we're going to go home. No, you by faith. For if Abraham were justified by works, you know, there's millions of people going to get a gold star for going to church every Sunday, and that star is going to be in hell with them. Mm-hmm. Star means nothing.
That's right.
Right? Now, if you do that and have faith that God will do something for you, big difference. And you'll see it manifest, and you've seen it manifest in your life that if you do something by faith, God will honor it. But if you do something by works, because we're not justified by works. We're justified by faith. But then our faith, remember James had the discussion, my works and my faith? Brother Brown said works is faith expressed.
Yes.
That's the sermon title, works is faith expressed. So if you come to church knowing that God's going to do something for you, and knowing that Brother Brown said you can't wait till the doors open to get to church. Now, that's just not coming in and sitting down. I believe Brother Brown was talking about the inward man. The inward person has a desire to go to church.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Now, sometimes we let the flesh get involved. We're just human. For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. Okay, not before God. Because remember, Abraham had all the scenario of Abraham was is a man walked up to him one day and said, "You're going to have a baby with Sarah, and I'm going to bless that whole lineage." And him 90 years old, and Sarah 80. Well, 75 and 65 when they first told him. Then he walked 25 years. 25 years. So he had faith without works. But what did his faith produce? His faith produced works. Because he finally got a body change and had the baby. And that's our whole deal here. Is, me and somebody were talking the other day up at the camp. Maybe me and Tony. But, you know, we think, well, we used to all this time try to figure out how can we hide a gun or hide some food. Man, listen. Daddy bought a 55-gallon drum of gasoline one time and put it in the hottest place he could put it. Thinking that, you know, what we were thinking. And then we've hid, we've buried 22 shells that we can't even find. We can't even find them. We hid them up there in the woods and we can't find them. I mean, went up there, we took metal detectors and tried to find them. Can't find them. Well, guess what? They're useless. But that was the mentality back then, was we were going to try to make it through a certain part of not tribulation, but the certain part of the squeeze or the whatever you want to call it. But and look at now, though. Look at technology. They drive by your house, scan your house, tell where you are, how much money you got, anything in your home, and your cell phone is a GPS. They've already turned it on and convicted people with it. So forget about trying to hide. You better have faith, because I promise you your works will do you no good. That's what's going to happen. And I'm telling you now, we're going to come up to a place when that door's closed, you're done. You're done for. If you're not in Christ, and if you don't, I was thinking about this, we may talk about this a little bit later, but remember, the third pull is not a public show. The third pull is not a public show. The third pull is not a public anything.
Yeah. Right.
Even up here in the sanctuary. It's an individual that comes to a place that can say, "God, I need a drink of water. God, I need to be hid. God, I need a pork chop. God, I need a..." You understand what I'm saying?
Even with all this mechanical stuff that we're talking about, the bride will have the spoken word.
Sure. And that's the only thing that's going to save us. So if we get in the Word, pack enough Word in to where God can we can be manifested sons of God, like Brother Dale's teaching us things. To be manifested sons of God, then what's the third pull? The third pull is going to pull us away from those things. It's going to pull us to a place that nobody's been brought before. Because we've always said third pull, but I believe we've always thought it was the third push. There's a big difference. Because we're trying to push everything, you know. Well, I'm gonna buy me all this stuff and put it up. You know, it's not bad to have that stuff. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
I'm just saying, don't sit there and lean on that.
Yeah.
Right.
Talked to a brother one time, and bless his heart, he's just about as shallow as, anyway. He's going to buy gold and buy silver, and then he's going to be able to, once the squeeze happens, there won't be no paper money, so he's going to be able to. I said, so you're going to take a brick of gold that's worth about $2,500, and you're going to try to get $5 worth of gas? What are you going to do, shave? And I was just that way. I said, you're going to shave some weight off of that? I said, no, they're going to take that whole big block of gold you got.
Yeah.
So, you know, like I said, though, that was so carnal, though, that we're going to try to make it through the squeeze. No. Once we get to that point, God's obligated to take us through.
That's right.
So I put all my faith like Abraham. Because watch, Abraham was a human being. Here's Hagar, young girl. Here's Abraham, 75, still can produce, you know, understand? So he said, okay, I'll help God. That sounded like Eve, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I'll help God, and what did he produce? Not the will of God. He produced an Ishmael, which is what's fighting over yonder now.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
But when finally Abraham comes down one day and says, God, I'm 99, I can't even get out of bed in the morning. Sarah can't even remember where she's at half the time. Okay? And God said, okay, that's where I want you. And then one day they wake up, what? Brand new people. Brand new, 20-year-old, ready to do what God said to do, but it wasn't them doing it, it was God doing it. So that's the best thing for us to do, is say, God, you promised it. You promised it. So it's not by works. You see how updated this is? Now this is Paul talking to Romans. They're not talking about body change. They're not talking about even coming to adoption. But he's teaching adoption to try to get the people to come up to a level to see something. But you know what? This word's eternal. So guess what? Today, this is just as, this is updated as it's going to get. This is today word right here. Okay? Because what? We're putting it into now. Body change. Right? For if Abraham was justified by works, he had whereof the glory. But not before God. Why? Because God knew he's the one that did it. Abraham did. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. First, Abraham believed God. Then the sign of circumcision came to prove that he had believed what God's already said. Right? Now, to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. All right, look. He that does works has a balance sheet. You see what I'm saying? God, if I'll do this, it's not a balance sheet. No, we're weighing the balances of found wanting. All right? So don't worry. God, now, if I go to church 25 times, you're obligated to. No. But if you'll go to church 25 times thinking you'll get something from God, and you're not coming to see everybody but God, you know what? He's obligated then to do it. Now, to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. Because remember, grace is what? Unmerited favor. Not of works, lest any man should boast. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Well, I said, we've got to be a believing group of people.
Yes.
I mean, we got to believe. We got to believe in something we've never seen.
Right.
Amen? But you know what? I see what it does. I see the Word of God, and I was thinking this morning, you know, when I walked around in the world of sin, no, there was no God inside of me, because God won't dwell in an unclean vessel. I've always tried to ask the people, said, look, when that unclean spirit goes out of a man, where's it at? If it's unclean, God can't be in there.
Right?
Because the Bible says the unclean spirit goes out of a man.
That's right.
Right? So God and him can't be in there, and that unclean spirit can't be in there at the same time. What you're doing is you're making a way. Once that unclean spirit's gone, you're making a way for God to come in. But there is still representation in this Bible. This is the seed that everybody's trying to think it's some little spot, some little eternal. This is it right here.
Yes.
Right. I was in this. So now, in the beginning was the Word. That's what I was thinking about this morning. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was the Word, the seed. In the beginning was the seed. Seed was with God. The seed was in God.
That's right.
Amen? Right?
Amen.
So now there's where I'm identified. In the seed word of God. Right here.
Right.
So when he came on the earth, I was in him. Not in a natural germ. No. Because remember, and this is for later on, but remember, Jesus inherited eternal life in his flesh. So you and I were not in his flesh.
Right.
No. No, we were in the very soul or the essence of that man Jesus. That's where we were.
Yes. Right.
So we weren't in the flesh. So by the flesh, we're not kin to Jesus.
That's right.
But now once he inherited eternal life, now when you inherit something, what do? It's yours.
Right.
And you know what? If I inherit something, who do I give it to? My heirs.
Yes.
And my joint heirs. So he received eternal life in the flesh so that we can receive eternal life in the flesh. But he had to be eternal life in his soul first. And that's the Word. That's what was in the beginning. Was the Word. Right? Everybody alright?
Amen.
So now that I can count that when I was walking the walk of a sinner, God wasn't nowhere in my soul. He can't dwell in an unclean vessel. But I was in the Word.
Yeah.
I just hadn't realized it yet. I hadn't come to that place yet.
Right.
To where God can quicken. I had to hear the Word, so I had to receive But then he quickened it. And then when he quickened it, that made it alive. That's why we can read scripture like we do now and not be confused. Because the one that wrote it is in you to reveal it. Okay. But to him that worketh not, now that don't mean you don't have to do nothing. You hear what I'm saying? And see, everybody's going, wow, we don't have to do nothing. Really, you don't. You can be circumcised, go to church, never drink, never cuss, never smoke, but you're still a sinner. All right? To him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifies. Now, there's only one person that can justify, right? According to the first seal, one true and living God is the only justifier of anybody, is that one true and living God named Jesus Christ. Right? That justifieth the ungodly. Well, that must have been us. We were not of God when we came into this world. We were of our parents and then of a sinful nature. We were of God in the Word, but we hadn't come to that yet. But now look, his faith is counted for righteousness. To change our body, that's what I'm saying. To come to the change of the body, it can't be any do's and don'ts that you do. Not one do and don't that you do. Not one. Show me one. Show me one do and don't that you can do that will change your body. There's not one. Well, I go to church. We may not be able to get to church after a while. Well, I go. No, it's by faith. Abraham, I don't believe Abraham, the morning he got his body changed, I don't believe that night he stayed up all night and had this real religious experience. You understand what I'm saying? He just woke up one morning and he was in the place God wanted him to be, and boom. He looked over and thought he got in the wrong bed because he had a real young wife laying over beside of him. Then he looked in the mirror and said, you know what though? He knew that was it because his faith had what? Been counted. His faith was counted, but now his faith was now fulfilled because he had been changed back with something he couldn't do. And then they had one son, Isaac, which was the promised son. Alright? So, it's not by works, but your works is your faith expressed. So, don't ever forget works. Because I promise you, in this day and age, with all this technology and all this stuff, like they said the other day, you know, you're being watched, whether you know you're being watched or not. There's cameras everywhere. Well, God's been that since the beginning of time.
Right,
right. He's had a camera on all of us. You know, I mean, what we're doing on the earth is just manifesting to a degree of what God's already been doing. Right? Even as David also described the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Now that word impute means to, it is a verb, to reckon, or to count. Now, look at David. My, David had his best friend killed. Murdered. That was premeditated murder. He would have been, that would have been a federal offense in this day and age, and he'd be put in federal prison. Because he told the guys, when the battle's hot, withdraw yourself so that he can die. Then he takes his wife. He's already committed adultery with his wife before this. Because remember, she was pregnant. And to cover that pregnancy up, she had to get Uriah killed so that he can say, well, that ain't mine.
Yeah.
That's the guy I'm telling you about that's telling you that the blessedness unto whom God imputed righteousness without works. And it did, because God would have killed him if it would just been by works. God would have went through Nathan and said, David, you're the man, so you're going to die. But what did he do? Through grace, he went to Nathan the prophet. God came to Nathan the prophet and said, David, I've seen your sin. I know what you've done. But I know the integrity of what? That very inside man. Okay? Which wasn't born again. But he had an integrity that covered him. Because God knew what he would do if he would have had that man, the man Jesus, inside of him. He would have never done these things. But what a great thing though that we can read about David, and God thinking so much of David So he's going to get the title of the son of David in the millennium. Said it would be an ever, it'd be a kingdom that would, that'd be the son of David would be on the throne for, you know, 1,000 years.
Right.
But now we would have convicted him and put him in prison. Right?
Right.
By his works. Right? But look, we consider the end of the conversation. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. David was so much like God till he spoke in the first person. Right? They pierced my hands and my feet and all those different things. When he was anointed. Because look, David could only say sins are covered. Did you catch that? Did you catch that? In the Old Testament, sins were covered. In the New Testament, those sins are done away with. Just like I said about having a married, having a husband that's alive. You have a husband that's alive, he's there. He's right here. It don't matter if you never see him again. A day in your life, he's still alive. But if he's dead, you're free to marry him again. Right? So, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Look, watch. So Paul is saying, look, now cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only? In other words, all this I've said, blessed are iniquities, all the Lord will not impute sin. Circumcision only? Or upon the uncircumcision also? Paul's bringing two groups together.
Right.
All right. For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness, not of works. All right. How was it then reckoned? See, Paul asked a question and then he answered it. How was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Because remember, Abraham's faith started when he said, Abraham, get up in chapter 12. Abraham, get up and get out of the land. Go to a land I'm telling you. That was when the faith of Abraham began. Not when he was circumcised. So that's what he's saying. How was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision. Circumcision was after the type of the Holy Ghost, right? He had walked for years and years. He had already had Ishmael. He'd give his wife away already one time. And all these different things that Abraham did in walking in uncircumcision. But it was reckoned. See, that's what he's telling them, because the Jews are going, Abraham was circumcised, and we believe for Abraham, Paul said, you're believing because of the circumcision that he's the father of your faith. No. He said, the father of your faith started in uncircumcision. God started honoring his faith before he was physically circumcised. Okay? Amen? Now look. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had. Which he had, yet being uncircumcised. So that's what he's telling them. He's saying, now look, boy, he is destroying. No one of the Romans hated, no one of the Jews hated him. Because he's destroying their whole doctrine. Right here, he destroyed it. He had yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe.
That's right.
Huh? Though they be not circumcised. Remember, he's going to see the Romans, so the Jews and the Romans are going to come together. You know the Romans are uncircumcised. You know, Gentiles. Jews are circumcised. So what's Paul trying to do? He's saying, look, we got to put this thing together. That he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. If not, then everybody that's physically circumcised is going to heaven. Everybody that's uncircumcised is going to hell. That's pretty much what the Jews said. Heathens desecrate our temple by letting who of it, Timothy or one of them, walk into the temple. And then somebody was talking the other day, and they kept records of that. See, when you were circumcised, you were circumcised by the priest. And that record was kept. Well, see, when Timothy walked into the temple, they might have known if he was a Jew or whatever, but the priests were going, he ain't on our records. Where were you circumcised? And Timothy probably went, I'm not. They're like, you're standing in our temple. You've desecrated. And Paul's like, hold on a minute. Hold on a minute. And then, you know, you see what's going on here. And the father of circumcision, to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had, being yet uncircumcised. He said that twice, right here. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law. Because they can read the Torah. The Torah said, Abraham, your seed is good. You can't look up, Abraham. Right? Look up, Abraham. See the stars? Your seed's good. Well, the Jews are like, man, we're part of that. We're one of that great big... They wasn't even part of that if they didn't believe. If they didn't believe, they weren't a part of that. Sure, physically they were. But not spiritually. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed, us, through the law, but through what? The righteousness of faith. Yes. Look, for if they which are of the law be heirs, I circumcise my son, he circumcised his son, he circumcised his son, he circumcised his son, all the way from Abraham down. So that's what the priests were saying. My name's been in this book for generations. From this one was circumcised, my daddy circumcised me, his daddy circumcised him. Then that's what they're saying. Paul's saying, in other words, I don't care about your book. Show me some faith. Yeah. Alright? For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void. So if it's just by the law, faith has been made void. And the promise made of non effect, so the promise has no effect. Because the law worketh wrath. Why did the law worketh wrath? There was no grace. There was no grace in the law. Right? For where no law is, there is no transgression. Pretty simple. Therefore, it is of faith. Now he's continuing his thought. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace.
Right.
By grace, through faith. To the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed. Not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, here's interpolating. Now what's he doing though? That's back in Genesis 12 or 13, somewhere in there. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Before him who believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead. Now, we read that and say, well, he quickened Abraham.
Yeah.
Abraham was physically dead in his body, in his flesh, you understand?
Yeah.
He wasn't physically dead, died dead. But his body could not produce what God told him to produce.
Right.
Okay? So God quickened the dead. He changed his body and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Abraham, you're going to have a child? Yeah, I'm going to have a child. How old is Sarah? She was about 94 and I'm 99 or what it was, 90 and 99, 89, 99. And the people are like, but you know what? After they got a body change, the people that didn't know them didn't have a clue what was going on. But now Abraham's family probably did and Sarah's family probably went, what's going on here? But you know what? If they didn't believe, it wasn't counted to them anyway. The promise wasn't even of that child. It wasn't counted to nobody but Abraham and Sarah. That was it. And us, because it was Abraham, Sarah, and the seed after him.
Yes.
Okay, look. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Now he's talking, look, he's talking natural. Father of many nations. All right? And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. When he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. So in other words, he never leaned on the part that I can't produce and Sarah can't produce. He said, God, you told us we're going to have the baby. You're going to have to do it. Same way with the body change. God's given us a... I was thinking the other day, he gave us a roadmap. He gave us a roadmap.
Yes.
Now, for those of you that are old enough to remember, the old roadmaps were folded, right? You had to unfold the thing. Five-fold ministry. Open the map. So anyway, I do have to think of things every once in a
while.
Preach that. Preach that. Well, I did. I thought, well, you know, it's a roadmap, but we used to fold. Remember, man, I never could. You had to give a map folding 101 to get the thing back together. Right? But we've got a five-fold map that we have a five-fold ministry that we believe will get us there. So he's already given us everything. He already gave it Abraham. But Abraham, now look, but Abraham didn't have 1,100 sermons. Abraham didn't have a Bible. Abraham believed what somebody said in his head. And God accounted that for his faith because he believed that was God telling him that. Right? He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Now look, he did stagger in his humanity. Give his wife away, had relations with Hagar, tried his best to do everything he could to help God. And you see how it messed up. But I like what one brother said. Said, well, if you look back to the Old Testament, yes, that's what you see. But when Paul looked through the Old Testament, he had to look through Calvary. Amen. He had to look through the blood curtain. And through the blood curtain, there was no... And when Abraham's faith come across, who was Abraham's faith? Jesus Christ was Abraham's faith.
Yes.
He is the faith. Okay? The faith that we have is in Jesus Christ. So if you look back through the blood, he never staggered. Because
yes.
He couldn't be the father of our faith. If we, you know, I mean, we stagger as human beings. But he staggered not at the promise. The promise. Not all the other stuff, the promise. But was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, who's that he? God. What God had promised, he was able to perform. And therefore it was imputed or counted or reckoned to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also. Paul, he brings them everyone together. To whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our what? Justification. All right? Amen. So we'll stop right there and go to Romans 5 in a couple weeks. Brother Luis. But man, it still gets real good. Being justified by faith. He brings justification in by faith. All right? The Lord bless you.